This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back to The Junks on The Fan. Jason Bishop, Eric Bickle, two-man show all week. We're going to get to your calls shortly on the Skins. A lot of people have a lot of thoughts. 800-636-1067. But as we do every Monday, he covers the Redskins for ESPN.com. We talk to John Keim. John, how are you, buddy?
John, good morning.
Good morning, fellas. How are you?
I mean, what can you say about what happened yesterday?
I think you guys need to do a repeat of your Friday show to take the heat off this franchise.
Yeah, that's what everyone's saying. That's what everyone is saying.
I mean, it's just, I mean, you know, every few years you kind of think, like, boy, look how far they've fallen. And yesterday was another marking line in that. And it's just, you know, talking after the game with other writers, like, you know, a month ago, this team is 6-3.
Yeah.
You know, and you're a questionable or bad call from being in position to kick a better field goal to beat Houston. I mean, it's you know, it's remarkable, but I think when you look at the history of this franchise, I think a lot of fans are probably saying it really isn't.
Yeah, we've all been here before. You asked the critical question in the presser, one of the first ones. Jay didn't have an answer for it. Offensively, we understand the injuries have taken their toll. You're bringing in guys off the street. Your backups are getting hurt and that sort of thing. Kind of understand their struggles. Defensively, that's kind of inexplicable. And I don't think Jay had an answer. I'm not sure that you have an answer yet for yesterday. But what have you seen? This has been a slow burn now. We've been seeing this the last 4 or 5 weeks, giving up 400-plus yards every week, down 40 zip. We sort of bottomed out, I hope, yesterday. How did we get to this point? You know, where do we point our fingers?
Yeah, and I think anytime there's a drop-off like this, it's never a single reason. And it's true of anything, because there's not a magic wand. You say, well, you change this, then everything's mm-hmm. great. And that's whether we're talking coaches, players, whatever. I kind of look at it as a mix. It's all in there. And, you know, you can look at some players and say, boy, this guy keeps making the same mistakes over and over again. Okay, well, if that's the case, well, then what's your answer as a coach? Because mm-hmm. that's your job, is to find the answers. Putting certain guys in the same position over and over is not an answer, you know, because it's not working.
So who's repeatedly making mistakes, John? Who's repeatedly?
Well, I think you can look at and I'm kind of speaking generally, but I think, you know, if they feel like, I mean, Zach Brown didn't play a lot yesterday, and they said it was because of illness. Mm-hmm. Well, I think there's probably some frustration over the inconsistencies there, mm-hmm. you know, with his play. So, you know, now whether I'm not singling him out, because it's not like they played well when he was on the sidelines, but if there are issues where you, like, for example, like in the run defense, there are a lot of times where you see the same mistakes, and not necessarily the same player, but the same mistakes. So if the same mistakes are happening, what do you do to change that? And so, like, you can look, and there's the player's aspect, which is, you know, guy missing a tackle, guy getting out of his gap all the time. This is happening all the time. It's a very undisciplined defense as far as executing their assignments. You know, secondary run support has not been good during this stretch. You know, there are linemen that you wonder, are they just gassed? You know, Jonathan Allen, Daron Payne played a lot of snaps early in this year, and this is the most they've ever played in their careers, the longest stretch. So you wonder about what the impact is of that. You can look at, I think the edge play has to be better against the run in overall. You know, I think the inside linebackers, you can point to a number of things. And, you know, so there's a lot of things. And that's why I say it's a mixed bag. And then, you know, then I think, like, when you hear DJ Swearinger talk, I mean, there's clearly, and he's not the one revealing. I just think through him, you're seeing just, this is not a defense that I would say has great chemistry. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, he even brought up yesterday, he said, you know, I've been on talented teams that were 2-14 and teams that weren't as talented that made the playoffs. I said, what's the difference? He said, chemistry. Mm-hmm. And I always go back to a line when in that 2000 season, when Larry Setters was here, mm-hmm. you know, that team was 6-2 and they finished 8-8. And I remember talking to him at the end of the year. I said, you know, he said something about chemistry. I said, yeah, but you guys look like you guys got along. He said, it's easy to get along when you're winning. When you get punched in the mouth is when you find out what your chemistry is like. And I think we're seeing that.
Yeah, you bring up an interesting point, and I think we talked about it last week. But when Alex was healthy, you know, their time of possession was up near the top of the league, right? And in the last 4 weeks, you know, I think you're making a good point about the defense just getting grinded down, especially the defensive line. Not that that's an excuse. Shouldn't be an excuse.
No, it's not an excuse.
But it's happening. It is happening.
It's happening. It's definitely happening. And I think, you know, like I said, there's not a single answer here to the defense. I think there will be. I think there needs to be multiple changes there. But I do think that's one of the keys to their success early in the year was ball control. You know, the lack of turnovers and just solid defense overall. And I think I'll go back even with, you know, Alex Smith, it's Brandon Sheriff. Losing him at right guard, I think, was a major blow because of what it allowed them to do in the run game. And it started to put, when he was gone, the run game starts to suffer. When the run game suffers, there's more emphasis on what they don't have in the pass game. Mm-hmm. And they weren't equipped to win just as a pass team. So, you know, I think it's those injuries, it definitely hurt. And, you know, you look at with Alex Smith was not, I wouldn't say he was playing great, but he was playing like Alex Smith in early in his Kansas City days, where you do control it and you do stay out of mistakes most of the time and you do work the clock. But it's also managing the game, and people hate that phrase, game manager, but that's all quarterback is. Now, mm-hmm. there's different levels that you get to with it, but that's a lot. That's what we saw, you know, with Mark Sanchez yesterday. There's not an ability to do that here at this point, and so you see the impact. But yeah, I'll go back to – I'll use the Alex Smith thing, but it's as much Brandon Sheriff too, because that impacted the run game severely.
And Dix really has been a disappointment. You may disagree, but he's taking bad angles
Time.
Yeah, I mean, the long pass to Coleman, he's late on that down the left sideline. I mean, it just seems like he's always out of position. That's what it seems like.
Yeah, I mean, it hasn't worked out. You know, I don't think there's, you know, I think whenever there's a trade like that, and especially in the season, when you have a team like Green Bay where he was at and they're giving him up, you can say, like, now I will say at the time I thought, okay, he can at least help this team and at least provide depth behind, you know, give them in case something happens to Monte Nicholson and you can have DJ stay in the box where he's a lot better. So at least there's that, but it hasn't worked out that way. And so, you know, but you always have to wonder, why is a team giving up a guy in the middle of the season when they don't have a lot of answers themselves at that spot? That's where you have to, you know, you always have to keep that in mind. And, you know, now they gave up a fourth-round pick for him. And, you know, part of the thinking at the time was, well, if he doesn't resign here, he'll go out and get a good deal and you get a comp pick, or at least a potential for a comp pick. And I'm not so sure that that's going to – I don't know that that will be the case, because his play hasn't warranted any sort of a big deal somewhere else. But, yeah, no, I mean, he hasn't been – I mean – he hasn't been that last line of defense that they need to prevent some of these big games. Yeah.
All right, John, is there any chance that there can be any stability over the last three games with a guy who has started five games in his entire career? And that's Josh Johnson. He played a little better. They had a little spark. I assume he'll start the last three if he can stay healthy. Is there any chance he can keep them competitive at least?
I don't know. I'm not that smart.
Yeah.
I mean, it's, you know, and I think what you saw yesterday was, if nothing else, his ability because he understands the system, there was less hesitation when he dropped back in the pocket than there was with Sanchez. I mean, definitely. And I think his ability also to move. And the one thing, you know, with Sanchez, one thing in talking to people, like, last week, the lines were, it was always, well, if a guy's, you know, in his situation, the guy comes in and he only knows a little bit of the offense, if he's not comfortable, his eyes go to the first read and then to the pass rush. And I think that's what was happening yesterday, because there were times where he's leaving the pocket before he needed to, because he, you know, as far as where are my second options, where are my checkdowns, you have to know all that. And a lot of times a checkdown is right in the middle, so they're right in his line of vision, so he knows where the guy is. But Josh Johnson was a lot better with that and a lot more comfortable in the pocket. And I think his ability to run was a major plus. And we saw that. And I think a lot of people were probably surprised at how athletic he is. Mm-hmm. So now whether he can provide the stability, I don't know. They're playing a bad team this weekend in Jacksonville, and they're facing Cody Kessler. So, you know, the ratings should be through the roof on this one. The other thing is, like, I wonder the same thing, like, God, he looked good, but it's like, but the guy isn't started for a reason.
Right.
And,
right.
You know, and it's like, and now he's on film, and so now Jacksonville can, okay, this is all we got to do here. You know, and so we'll see how that goes, but I think that, you know, clearly I think he gives them a better chance right now than Sanchez, just because he has more ability to get out of the pocket and hurt a team with his legs. And I think that's a major plus that they need right now. And, you know, even before, like, I talked to Jay Gruden last week, and he even said that they had some packages ready for him. I think they wanted to use him in that game yesterday, even if it had been close. I think especially if it had been close, just as a change of pace for a defense to face.
Right.
So this is certainly rock bottom for this year, we would think. But I don't think they're going to win
another game. There's 3 weeks left.
That's true. That's true. I don't think they're going to win another game. Eric's still holding out on some hope there.
Well, I'm just a fan. I'm hoping they can.
I just don't think it's going to happen. So they're going to lose, what, 7 in a row in my book. And the question is, you know, what are the decisions that really need to be made in the offseason?
Yeah. I mean, listen, I think we all know the decisions that have to be made. And you cannot there are definite reasons the last 2 years why they've had certain records, and the injuries are a major factor. I mean, they are a factor, and it's hard to deny that, but you also can't ignore, you can't just go by that alone, because I think if you go by that alone, are you really improving as an organization? I think they have to obviously take a hard, hard look at every aspect of this organization, and why are people staying away in droves? And you know, I think that has to be you have to look at everything, and you can't just write it off because of the injuries. I think that would be a mistake. Now, what changes will be made, I don't know. I think, like I said, there's, you know, whether it's Bruce Allen, Jay Gruden, Greg Minuski, all of them, one of them, you know, I think you can't come back with the same group and expect fans to buy into that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think, again, whatever that means, we'll see. That's not my call, but I know, you know, you hear from the fan base, you hear the frustration, you see it in the stadium. It's, you know, it's remarkable where this franchise has gone, because, you know, when I started covering this team years ago, and even for a long time, it was, you know, you would not have foreseen this.
No.
But, you know, and so I think the owner has to be well aware of that. You know, and I think where you have to sell hope, and where's the hope for this fan base? And, you know, the draft pick it'll be higher, but not as high as it, you know, where you need to get guys who can sell that hope, meaning another quarterback, which they have to now draft. So it's just, there's a lot of hard decisions that, and I think fans would say easy decisions, but for them, they will be hard decisions that they have to make.
I don't think this is your bag, John, because I know you're more of an X's and O's guy. You're, you know, football guy. But do we, you know, no, Dan doesn't let anybody in, right? So we have I have no idea how this guy's mind works, other than just sort of reading his track record and his history. I know Bruce. He's a loser. I know how his mind works. So I get him. Let's say they move on from him. Who are the inner circle guys, though? Do you have any idea that influence Dan? Maybe we can get insight into what might happen if we know who his inner circle guys are.
Well, you have to look at some of the people, you know, obviously some of the other investors with him.
Right.
You know, because, and I think that's where you'd have to go. And, you know, I think you can, I think there's a way to get around that for some people who can kind of, you know, through a, you know, quote unquote, like, I don't know, word of mouth get things back to him who know how to do that. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I'm not one of them. But, you know, inside the organization, it'd be hard to say because it's Bruce and it's Bruce and Jay. And, you know, I don't know that there's anybody else there.
There's got to be investors, though. There's got to be investors in Dan's ear.
There's definitely the investors. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. And those are the ones who would have some of the, because listen, you go way back to Marty Schottenheimer and mm-hmm. you know, which is to me remains the biggest mistake they've made here is that not just fired getting rid of him, but you had John Schneider in the building, you know, but, I mean, this guy could have built something here just like he did in Seattle. But part of the reason why Marty went, and there was a couple of reasons. One, Marty, I don't think knew how to play the game with Dan, and it's Dan's team, and you have to play a game because it is Dan's team, and like it or not, that's the game you play. Right. Because just like anybody who has a boss, you have to know what the boss is like, and you play, you work around those rules. Marty did not, and you know, you need to keep him informed, but you also have to kind of, you know, get along with those around Dan. And Marty did not do that either. He rubbed them the wrong way. And so after 1 year, it led to an ouster. So but the point is that group, you know, does have an influence over what's going on. At least can say some stuff to him.
Well, unless they know less than what Dan knows, or they don't have the balls to tell Dan, hey, we need to make a change.
But if they hear it from certain people, maybe they go to him and just say, you know, man, I keep hearing this, or, you know, this is, but yeah, I don't, you know, and I don't know the answers to that, like what they think, you know, about anybody here. Mm-hmm. But you know, I do think that, you know, he does have that group, and that's a group that has been, you know, influential and heard in the past.
Yeah. All right. Thank you, John. Appreciate it, buddy. Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
All right. John Keim, everybody, from ESPN.
Let's get back into some calls.
I want to get into the calls, but it's something that we need to investigate here in the next coming weeks. We got to get into – somebody's got to do, like, a deep dive into the advisors that are closest to Dan, the investors, mm-hmm. beyond Bruce. We all know Bruce. Right. Nobody knows Dan. Dan's an enigma. But who are the other people that are investing money, that are in the suite with him, that he's standing next to, you know, during games?
Right.
Those people. You don't have to be a football expert. You don't have to know anything about football to know it's broken.
But they're obviously successful because
they got
a lot of
money. They must be successful in their other ventures.
Yeah. I mean,
and they're not. They can't be stupid. Like, I know Bruce is stupid, but Bruce has accomplished nothing in his life. But those
we're just dummies. We're just dummies, and we can recognize
that something's
wrong. An average
person, my mother could look at the record and go, well, that's not really working. You're going to have to move on. So who are the people that have influence over Dan? Who are these people? And what will their role be here in the coming weeks? Because something has to change. There is no chance this organization could go into 2019 and try to sell tickets. They're struggling to sell tickets anyway. With Bruce in place, with Jay in place, with the same guys in place. There's just no way. It can't happen.
You're talking about guys like Robert Rothman, Dwight Schar, Fred Smith.
Those guys.
Those are the guys in the ownership
group. Who are those guys?
But maybe they just say, Dan, you got to make your decision.
There's no way. They have to be saying something. All right, 800-636-1067. Bang out your calls when we come back.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
All right, another devastating loss. Four straight now for the Skins. There seems to be no end in sight. Jason thinks they're going to lose their last three. That'll make it seven in a row. I feel like they'll pop here in one of these next couple, but maybe not. I don't know. Maybe this is really one of the most disgusting ends to a scene that we've seen in a long, long time here. But there was some positive news yesterday for the locals. I want to give a shout-out. University of Maryland men's soccer team winning their fourth national championship. Their third under Sasha Sarovsky.
They beat Akron, right?
Santa Barbara, California. Beautiful Santa Barbara out there. And they beat the Akron Zips, right? I believe that's their name. One zip on a PK to get them up one. They had an opportunity to actually go up two, but the guy that buried the first PK got stuffed on his second one. So it was kind of a tense last 10, 12 minutes or so. But Maryland, they do it. They
something
close
good
it out.
Happened over in College Park.
Something good happened great. For the Terrapins.
Nicely done.
So hats off to the boys and to the program there. They've just been unbelievable under Sasha in his 26 years there. So his
now,
third national championship.
Do they have a lot of international players or is it mostly American-born players? What do you know about
the
program?
I don't
program?
Know the answer to that. I watched the entire game. I have no idea where those guys come from. They look like they're mostly sort of from around here.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, I don't know.
Have to look. Nice job.
But props to them. Just an awesome, unbelievable achievement for them in a day that was pretty depressing. Although there were some other great football games. And I know Pete's going to come in here in the next segment.
Yep.
And he'll go around the NFL with us. And
crazy finishes.
That Cowboy-Eagle game was awesome. So fun to watch. I didn't know who I was rooting for there. Obviously, the Miami finish, the Raider finish. So a lot to talk about.
Some crazy games yesterday.
But if you're a Skins
that's
fan.
That's December in the NFL for you.
And, you know, the Redskins are, you know, sort of our primary focus here during football season. It doesn't get much worse than yesterday being down 40-zippy. A lot of things you can complain about. I don't know if you want to talk about the game in particular. I think it's at the point now where we have to look bigger picture. Like, how are things going to change here?
Yeah, there's no point in analyzing the game.
Yeah. All right, let's go to Mike in Arlington. Mike, what's up? You're on the Junks.
How you doing this morning?
Hey, buddy.
Hey, Mike, what's up?
Well, it's time. It's definitely time for a change. Okay, I would start. Okay, you have to. Only people I would keep Doug Williams around. I would keep the offensive coach around, and I would keep the special teams coach around. Everybody else will have to leave. Okay, we were 6-3. When you lose four straight, and when you don't, you have to have a very good coach to keep these guys motivated. We don't even have a coach to get these guys motivated.
Mm-hmm. So who's the offensive guy that you want to keep?
Offensive guy?
Yeah, who do you want to keep?
Yeah, you said you want to keep one of the offensive coaches. Well, the offensive coach that's most responsible for
Jay
is
calls
Jay.
Calls the plays, yeah.
Yeah.
Offensive line coach, you keep him because he's pretty good. Oh. He's a pretty good Tell offensive
him.
Line
coach. All right. Okay.
Then you have to go out there and find an offensive line coach because Jay Gruden, to be honest with you, he wasn't even one of the Cincinnati's. The Cincinnati fans ran him out of Cincinnati. You call down in the junkies in Cincinnati, they'll tell you that. Was thrown. They got him out of there.
All right. So
okay.
You,
now,
so you don't give you don't this. Give Gruden a pass for with all the injuries.
No, Gruden don't get no pass at all.
Okay.
Jay Gruden is not a coach.
All right.
If he was a coach, we would have a better record than we have. We got to now be honest. Do you really want to sit up here and watch this offense for the next 3 weeks going through Jay Gruden? I mean, y'all talking about Josh Johnson. The only reason he did what he did yesterday because, they was ahead 40-0. That's the only reason that they scored those points.
Probably true.
Yeah, I agree.
Probably
I agree.
True. Thank you, Mike. Appreciate it. Let's go
People are just fired up, boy.
Let's go to Dominic in Ohio. Dominic, what's up, buddy? You're on with the Junks.
Morning, guys. Thanks for taking the call.
Sure.
That game was brutal to watch. I had to keep reminding myself that losing out is the best thing possible. It's the only thing keeping me from chugging whiskey.
I guess, but it's hard to root for my team to lose. I just can't do it.
Oh, it is. It's awful.
I can't do it.
I like Jay. It's a bummer.
Seems like
that
a great
his
guy.
Tenure here. Yeah. Yeah, it's a bummer that his tenure here is going to be marred by just the worst injury luck in the history of ever, and then the whole front office botching of Kirk thing. You know, if both those things go differently, maybe we're not talking about this, but the one thing I don't give Jay a pass for is we consistently finish at the bottom of the league or the top of the league, depending on how you look at it, in penalties.
Mm, yeah.
15 yesterday.
In assuming going forward that we lose Bruce and we lose Jay, we blow out everybody, I'd like to kind of buck conventional wisdom and go defensive coordinator as our new head coach. Defense is where we have arguably more of our talent going forward, and I want someone to come in and really emphasize that. And make that work, because if you look at our offense, we are absolutely bereft of talent, and the talent that we do have is all made of porcelain. So if we draft a rookie quarterback, that kid is going to come in with no safety net, nothing in place to kind of help him flourish. So next year, whoever our new GM is, God willing, they come in and really evaluate where this team is, and that's at least 2-3 years away. So if we, you know, try and trade up or waste a lot of draft capital on a quarterback, it's just going to put us behind the eight ball again and again and again. So I'd rather have a defensive coordinator that can build something solid so that when we do find our quarterback of the future, he's coming into a team that's you know, at least in place where we can be competitive and he can, you know, have
some
growing pains.
I like it, but we thought we had that defense. We thought we had that defense the first six or seven games of the year, the way they're performing.
Yeah, and I think the talent is growing. I mean, we have great talent on the D-line. We have pro ball athleticism in Zach Brown, even though he's not a great all-around linebacker.
I think the Zach Brown tenure is coming to a quick end.
Yeah,
he is a dramatically different player.
You know what else is coming to an
year.
End? You know what else is coming to an end on the offensive side? Jordan Reed is coming into an end because you just can't count on him. Now, he's been healthy, relatively healthy this year, and hasn't missed a lot of time. I don't know if he's missed any games, but he's just never healthy. He's always going to have this foot problem. Seems like he has this foot problem every single year.
Right.
I would move on from Jordan. Nice guy, definitely talented, but you can't count on him.
You know, you could make the argument. I was thinking about this last night. Like, how are we going to just analyze this and try to figure all this out? How did we get to this? And really, all of this, you could make the argument, is the result of what happened with the Kirk Cousins negotiation.
Mm-hmm.
The way that thing fell apart years ago, and I'm not talking about last year. I'm talking about years ago when they kept giving him the one-year deals and they couldn't come to a long-term deal. This is the end result of it because they had to grasp and bring in Alex.
Right.
And then Alex looks like probably career-ending injury. That's why we're where we are. They had a potential franchise quarterback right there in their building that they drafted.
Didn't like him.
And they couldn't figure it out to keep him. They couldn't make it work to keep him when he would have stayed here a couple years ago. But they couldn't commit to him.
They
couldn't make it work.
True. And maybe like a true GM would have got that done. But I don't think Jay, and you know this, Jay didn't like Kirk Cousins.
Jay didn't like him.
So when your head coach isn't really backing him, it's hard for the GM to say, all right, let's give this guy.
And the owner was still hung up on RG3 there for a while. The owner and Bruce, to an extent, still hung up on Robert. So there was no reason why.
Certainly didn't help.
And I'm not saying that if Kirk was here today, that the problems would be solved. I mean, you know, Minnesota's having their own issues, and they've got a great football team around him. But, man, you can really point to sort of this bottoming out to the failed contract negotiations with Kirk Cousins 3 or 4 years ago. All right, let's go to Dave in D.C. Dave, what's up?
What's up, fellas? Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, what's up, buddy?
Hey, look, I look at it like this, man. Everything starts at the top. Starts with Dan. We had coaching pedigree. People talk about Jay Gruden. Look who put him in that place. You know what I mean? Like we had Schottenheimer. We had Shanahan. The coaching pedigree, they got ran out of here. I mean, look at the decisions we make. We let go of DeSean Jackson. We don't sign Kirk. We got the owner who loves RG3, all right? And then we had Kirk Cousins, but RG3 only stays around because the owner likes him. I mean, as long as Jay has this team, as long as Dan has his team, I don't see any success in the future.
All right, well, don't even bother watching because he's not going anywhere.
Yeah,
there's nothing we can
do.
Right,
exactly. So in these injuries, this whole quarterback thing, I didn't mind the Alex Smith trade at all. I thought it was a decent trade.
Right.
But what Jason was saying, I would have traded Jordan Reed at his height just because he couldn't stay healthy. When he had that good year, whatever year that was, that's when we should have traded him for top draft pick or a perennial player.
I don't think we knew at that time, though, that he was going to be so injury prone.
He still couldn't stay healthy, though, regardless. Jordan Reed has always been hurt. Even when he had the good years, he was out, 5 games?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Can't count on him.
It's all about – I don't even blame Jay. Jay is who Jay is. We had McVay. What's his name? Sean McVay.
Sean McVay.
We let him go.
Yep.
We let him go. You know, we've had players in the building. We've had coaches in the building. We've had sustainability in the building. But Dan is always in the way. Yeah. It is no way around it. Like, we just need to boycott the team. Don't go to the games until Dan sells the team.
That's
not going to happen.
The team's worth a couple $1 billion.
And like Eric said, there are bad ownerships out there that somehow they hire the right guy. They could be a bad owner, but they hire the right guy,
right,
and they can sustain some success that way. But it doesn't look
situation. That Dan is a loser. But, you know, I can't blame Dan for this. I can't blame Dan for this. I mean, he hired Bruce, But I mean, like, he's not in there day to day. The best of what we're hearing, he's not in there pulling strings and calling the shots. He's not drafting guys. He's not signing free agents.
No, but he hired the guy that is
he's hiring the guys.
Making those
so
mistakes.
In that sense, sure. But that's always going to be the case. He's not going anywhere. He's going to be omnipresent until he dies, until he takes his last breath. He's going to be the owner of the Washington Redskins.
Probably so. Yep.
I think it's just a waste of time to kind of focus on that.
Well, I think the caller was he recognized that, but his point is it's kind of hopeless because Snyder will always run a bad ship.
I refuse to believe that. I still think he can hire a good person and let them do their jobs and stay out of the way.
Well,
he's just hiring bad guys. I mean, he hired Bruce, a terrible hire.
All right, so this is what we're going to do. We're going to get back into calls at 8 o'clock, but when we come back, let's mix it up a little bit. Pete's going to come in here, run the Junkies Blitz, and go over all those crazy games yesterday, talk about the playoff picture, talk about the choke job of the Steelers and the Pats. A lot to get into around the league with Pete Metters, and then we'll get back into calls at 8 o'clock. We're the Junkies on the Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, it's time for the Junkies Blitz with JP gone. Pedro and Deportes will step in, and we'll run around the league with him. Junkies Blitz is sponsored by the good people at Purple Heart.
And by the way, Pete was a rock star this weekend.
He did a great job on the piece of the I Believe chant and the history of the I Believe chant. I don't know if you saw that.
No.
But he believes that the good people at Navy started that, and of course that had morphed into like the soccer world
right.
And college football,
where did you
college
do that?
Basketball.
Who did you record that piece for?
CBS.
That was CBS.
For CBS television?
The pregame.
Yes,
yeah,
the nice. Pregame show for Army Navy.
Very nice. And I know you did the whole tour thing like on Friday, right? Where you were interviewed all across the country.
6 a.m. until 5:15 in the afternoon. We did a bunch of TV hits until noon, and then we did Radio Row in the afternoon.
See, here's the difference between you and I. I would have loathed. But I know you. You were looking forward to that, and you loved it.
Well, my job as the play-by-play guy for the Naval Academy sports teams is to market my product.
And you did
no
that.
No one markets the Naval Academy better than I do.
You do it. And you're wearing Navy gear right now.
I agree.
Brand-new Army-Navy issue.
I'm actually wearing Navy pants. You can't see them, but I'm wearing Navy pants.
Okay. Well, I'd wear some if I had some, but no one's given me any in all my years.
And, I don't know if you want to kind of give a quick recap of the game, but, man, Vegas was right on it.
The one thing you can count on in Army Navy right now is under, and usually under a touchdown.
Correct.
Or a touchdown or under.
And
it's uncanny.
And Zach Abey couldn't hit the side of a barn.
He Shame. Had trouble hitting the target.
Is
and
I senior, like
the
kid. Is he done?
Yeah.
Is he senior done?
Yeah.
So they went to Garrett Lewis, made a little run, but anyway, Army was the better team.
Played better, that's for sure. Not much of a talent difference, I don't think, between us, but they just played better.
They played better, yeah.
And had to go to Nashville yesterday. That was fun.
Well, the Lewis kid or whatever got them moving. I mean, they had a shot.
Yeah, he was going into the end zone. He stumbled a little bit, and he got popped from the side perfectly. Ball popped out. I mean, look, that's what happened to them for 14 years against us. They fumbled it uncanny times, and now that stuff is happening to us. I mean, it's kind of the law of averages bouncing back, kind of in their favor.
Yeah.
So,
all right,
anyway,
so let's go around the league because there's a lot of crazy games
yesterday. Talk about bouncing in your favor. Dateline Miami.
Hmm.
Kenyon Drake is the guy that ends up going the rest of the way. But how many times do we see all these lateral plays? Usually it ends up with a ball bouncing and somebody haplessly falls on it. Or Ohio State Northwestern, a great cover a couple of years ago because Ohio State picked one up at the end of the game and did that. But the Dolphins somehow managed to cover 69 yards with all of these. Drake, the final 52. And how about the futile attempt by Rob Gronkowski? All of a sudden, Rob realized, oh, my God, I'm going to have to make a tackle here. And he didn't make the tackle.
And Belichick said he put him in there just to kind of defend against the Hail Mary. But that would have been one of the longest Hail Mary passes ever.
Well, and look, I'm not sure Tannehill's got that kind of arm either.
That's what I mean. Yeah.
So maybe perhaps one of the few times coaching mistake on Coach B's part there.
Well, I'll tell you another mistake, and I don't know if people are talking about this. And, well, I actually did talk about it on the game. I was watching the game. because I had a money line parlay with the Pats. All they had to do was win, right? So it's 4th and 4 with 16 seconds left at the Miami 4-yard line. All right. Miami's used all their timeouts. All right. So it's 4th and 4. Belichick, instead of going for it,
kicked the field goal
to go up 5. Mm-hmm. Okay. If you go for it there, you burn a few more seconds. And then even if you don't get it, Miami's got the ball at their own 4-3-2-yard line with no timeouts left.
And like 12 seconds.
Right. So he kicks the field goal, gives them an opportunity to get the ball at the 30 because the kid ran it back to the 31. And then they had the opportunity with a lot more room to spare to run that Hail Mary.
Yeah.
Or run the lateral play.
Yeah. No.
Yeah, Belichick, he botched the game. He choked.
Yeah.
Dateline Kansas City. The Lamar Jackson era is well underway for Baltimore, and I don't think it's stopping because he had them in position yesterday.
Made some plays,
led them in rushing again. In overtime, though, Kansas City gets the Harrison Butker field goal. Robert had to come in on the last play of the game. Actually made a great
foot throw
to Willie Snead,
got
who was grabbed right before the ball got there. Should have been pass interference against Kansas City. Of course, no flag.
Mm-hmm.
And the Ravens fall in overtime 27-24. But, you know, they tell you you can't win in the NFL that way right now, using the style that you would have to with Robert and obviously Lamar Jackson. But John Harbaugh and the Ravens made a great coaching adjustment here on the fly with Jackson. Just Pat Mahomes, too much to overcome with 377 more yards, already tied with a couple games to go. Kansas City franchise record for 350-yard passing games in a season.
Well, yeah. Baltimore really came after him. Okay, that might be the blueprint. They really put a lot of pressure on him. And, you know, even though they won the game, Kareem Hunt not being there completely changes their offense, in my opinion.
Yeah,
I'm not saying they're not going to get home field advantage. They probably will.
It's one less guy, though, who can make an explosive play now in that offense. That's the thing. He gave you the ability, either via the run or the short pass out of the backfield, to make an explosive play just like Tyreek Hill. Now, Hill is really only the explosive guy now that you have to tilt the defense toward. It's Kansas City.
It was a great game. I mean, they're up 24-17 with 4 minutes to play, and then the 4th and 9 and the 4th and 3, but the 4th and 9 play to Hill was just incredible.
Was insane. Yeah. Both of them were great plays. And then, you know, hey, Jackson had him going too. And then, you know, as they mentioned, didn't quite have the protections kind of figured out. Got caught from behind there. Fumble.
He's a little careless with the ball.
Yeah.
Still got to get that high and tight.
But they're still in the playoff mix. I believe if the playoffs start today, they still do have that last wild card.
Yes, they are in the last wild card spot. But there are 5 other teams now in the AFC, all sitting there at 7-6. And I'm telling you, the Indianapolis Colts are coming like a freight train in the AFC.
What a win.
So
that was a great win.
They pick up a great win, stopping Houston's long win streak. And the Texans' quest for a third AFC South title took a small hit yesterday with that 24-21. Andrew Luck, 399 yards, 2 touchdowns. T.Y. Hilton had 199. The job Frank Reich has done, because they got off to such a poor start, they are really coming like a freight train right now in that AFC.
That's one of those 7-6 teams. They lose the tiebreaker based on conference record, I believe, now. But I haven't looked at their schedule, but unbelievable job by them, Frank Wycheck.
I mean, Raiders.
Frank Reich.
Frank Wycheck. Why do I have Frank Wycheck on the brain?
Don't know. You're thinking Maryland. Frank Reich
could be. Yep. Raiders and that terrible field they have out there at the Oakland Alameda County Coliseum comes up to bite the Steelers yesterday. But here's the part of this game I don't understand about Pittsburgh. If Ben Roethlisberger was healthy enough to go back in at the end of the game there like that after the Raiders got back in it.
Why wasn't he in,
period? That's a question Mike Tomlin's got to go back and ask himself today. And I'm a huge Mike Tomlin fan. Love the guy. But yesterday, if Big Ben's able to play, why don't you keep him in that contest?
Well, what was the score when he exited the game?
It was 14-10.
14-10?
Yeah.
Maybe they just thought –
the Raiders sucked.
Yeah, maybe they
thought
Dobbs could win it. You know, they could just run the ball and
they
Dobbs could make
They thought the Raiders would just quit as they normally do during the course of this season. But yet they didn't. Derek Carr played well. Yesterday, 6-yard
TD
pass.
Three straight losses.
Carrier.
3 straight losses for the Steelers.
Half a game lead over the Ravens. I mean, the Ravens missed an opportunity to jump back into the division lead.
Are the Steelers falling apart or what?
I mean, look, they're going as well as Ben plays. Ben has just been hit or miss.
And what's
this year,
the story
period.
With Connor?
Hurt the ankle last week. Didn't play this week.
He may play next week.
I think at this point, if he can go, you got to get him out there. Though I didn't think Ridley and the other guy that came in for him played all that bad yesterday.
They only ran
Steelers.
For 40 yards, though.
Yeah,
now, Samuels was good in the pass game.
Right.
He caught 7
balls.
Well,
Ben, they're going to throw the ball an awful lot with Ben anyway.
Yeah.
I mean, Juju Smith-Schuster is turning into a superstar in the league.
How about that little the hook and ladder play?
It was a great play.
It was great.
Great play. But, of course, Chris Boswell's had a very tough year for Pittsburgh, slips on the potential game-tying field goal.
And, by the way, that was a chip shot. I mean, that was a layup.
Yeah, he was going to make – he should make that.
And he slipped on the turf.
Slipped on the turf.
All right, only had a few minutes left, right. Minute or two.
All right. How bad was the officiating in the Philadelphia-Dallas game yesterday?
Well, the call on the tight end was criminal, and then the following call on the sack there
was that
was
a makeup
brutal.
Call?
I guess. I mean, didn't do enough.
They'll tell you that doesn't exist, but Cleet Blakeman's crew is usually not terrible, but, boy, they were bad in that game yesterday.
How do you call offensive pass interference
didn't
on
see
that
it.
Play?
Didn't see it. I have no idea. I mean, I watched it live. I didn't see it when I watched the replay.
Now, they ended up
scoring
on the
drive,
right?
Move on him, basically. They're calling pass interference.
But, I mean, it's crazy.
He's just trying to run his route.
The officiating in the National Football League, I don't know if the players are just getting too big, too fast, because you see a lot of guys with, like, white hair out there, man, and I don't know how they keep up with these guys to get the right angle to make calls, because I think that's truly what happens sometimes. I think guys just not fast enough to keep up. They get a bad angle, and they're looking at it, and they go, I think that is, and they throw the flag. Yeah. And it ends up in this game. I mean, they were definitely a major part of the game that the Cowboys finally win in overtime. And look, the Amari Cooper trade for a first-round draft pick.
I was wrong on that.
We all were.
Yeah, I was
wrong.
We
all were. Yeah. I mean, he's played great. I mean, he's been
great
for Dallas.
He's got 40 catches and like 650 yards and 6 touchdowns since the trade.
Right.
They traded for Amari Cooper. We traded for Ha-Ha Clinton Dix.
Right, you got it.
Who do you think did better?
I think they got slightly better.
The Ha-Ha is on the Redskins.
Yeah.
That's anything else?
That's a look around the NFL. Well, those are the big games.
Bears beat the Rams. That was big.
Yeah.
15-6.
That was the Jared Goff, Jeff Fisher version last night. He and Trubisky combined for 7 interceptions in the game last night.
I didn't see one play. I just know that I had Gurley and Robert Woods on my fantasy team in the playoffs.
Yeah.
And I saw the score when I woke up, and I said, oh, I'm a loser. I won the game by 6.
Amazing.
I don't know how I won my fantasy playoff game yesterday. Won the game by 6, even with Gurley with 28 yards.
Yeah, I won my fantasy game by 5 because I didn't have Connor, and I'm in a 20-team league, so there are no subs. Carlos Hyde was the guy that filled my spot. Of course, he got 0 points, but Juju Smith-Schuster with 25 bailed me out.
That hooks you.
Wow, Trubisky had a quarterback rating of 33, and Goff had a rating of 19. That is bad football right there.
By the way, real quick, the Browns get their 5th win.
Whose team would you rather have right now, the Redskins or the Browns?
Browns are certainly got a quarterback.
Not even close.
The Browns have a quarterback.
I'm taking Cleveland.
They have hope.
Nice job, Pedro,
thank
with
you,
the
buddy.
Junkies Blitz. When we come back, we'll get into the sports page, and then D. Hall will come on, and we'll grill the Skins a little bit with D. Hall at 8:20. Stay with us.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.